Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Gold. All right, and today Masech is Gittin, Daf Nun Hey, the fifth parak HaNizokin. The Zichu Masech is Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichu Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah relates several testimonies from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, including Chatas HaGazua Shel Noda L'Rabim, concerning a stolen Chatas, meaning a stolen animal which the thief designated as a Chatas, which was not publicly known to have been stolen. She Mechaperes Mifnei Tikkun HaMizbech, that it atones for the thief's chatas obligation for the benefit of the mizbech. Two explanations are given. Ula says, Dvar Torah ben noda ben lo noda, in Mechaperes. Biblically speaking, whether it was known or not, it does not atone for the thief, because Yeush kedi lo kani, the owner's despair from ever retrieving a stolen property alone, does not acquire ownership of the thief. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted that where the stolen status of the animal is unknown, it atones for the thief's obligation, shuoyu kohanim atzavim, so that kohanim should not be saddened by the later discovery that they ate illegitimate sacrificial meat, meaning chulin brought as a carbon. This is called tikkun ha-mizbech, benefit of the mizbech, because kohanim would hesitate in the future to bring karbanas. Rav Yehuda says that biblically speaking, a stolen animal is always a valid carbon because yeush alone does enable the thief to acquire it. The rabbis only instituted a disqualified stolen karbanas whose status was publicly known, shel yomru mizbech ochel gezelos, so people should not say that the mizbech consumes stolen items. Point number two, Rava challenged Ula from a brice which teaches about a stolen animal, which the thief was makdish, b'chutz ki haigovna, if he shechted it outside the mikdash, in such a case, anush karas, he is liable to karas. This proves that yeush is sufficient for the thief to own and be makdish the animal, for otherwise there would not be karas for shechting it outside the mikdash. Rav Shivsi answered, karas midivrehem, it means karas by rabbinical decree. After Rav admonished the students for laughing at the notion of rabbinically administered karas, he explained that the karas was engendered due to a rabbinical decree. Ukmul Rabbanim and Rishu say the rabbis place it in the thief's possession, using the principle of hefker based on hefker, geheche de lechaibala, so that he should be liable to karas for shechting it outside the mikdash. Rav later added that it's logical that the rabbinic transfer takes place at the moment the thief is makdish it, and not earlier when it's stolen, which would entitle him to the shearings and offspring in the interim, shloye chote niskar, so that the sinner should not profit from his wrongdoing. And point number three, the next mission teaches about purchasing land from a sikrikon, a murderous idolater who received land from a Jew so he would not kill him. It begins by teaching that the law of sikrikon did not apply in the period when people were being killed during the war of Titus. The Gemara explains that since idolaters were free or even required to kill Jews, we assume the Jew sincerely transacted his land to the sikrikon, threatening him. Later, when killing Jews was punishable by death, the law of sikrikon applied. The laws explain, lakach misikrikon, if one purchased land from a sikrikon, v'chazva lakach mabal bais, and then bought it from the original owner, mekachu batel, the sale is void because we assume the owner only agreed to the sale from fear of the sikrikon. Mabal bais, v'chazva lakach misikrikon, however, if he first bought it from the owner and then bought it from the sikrikon, mekachu kaim, his purchase is valid since the owner volunteers to sell it, is assumed to be in earnest. A later court ruled that if the land remained for 12 months with the sikrikon, one who buys the land pays one quarter to the owner and keeps it. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next mission relates several testimonies from Yochanan ben Gudgada, including L'chatas ha-gazua shel noda l'rabim, concerning a stolen chatas, meaning a stolen animal which the thief designated as a chatas, which is not publicly known to have been stolen, shehim mechaperes mifnei tikkun ha-mizbeach, that it atones for the thief's chatas obligation for the benefit of the mizbeach. Two explanations are given. Ula says, Dvar Torah ben noda ben lo noda, in Mechaperes. Biblically speaking, whether it was known or not, it does not atone for the thief, because yeush kedi lo kani, the owner's despair from ever retrieving a stolen property alone, does not acquire ownership of the thief. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted that where the stolen status of the animal is unknown, it atones for the thief's obligation, shuoyu kohanim atzavim, so that kohanim should not be saddened by the later discovery that they ate illegitimate sacrificial meat, meaning chulin brought as a carbon. This is called tikkun ha-mizbech, benefit of the mizbech, because kohanim would hesitate in the future to bring karbanas. Rav Yehuda says that biblically speaking, a stolen animal is always a valid carbon because yeush alone does enable the thief to acquire it. The rabbis only instituted a disqualified stolen karbanas whose status was publicly known, shel yomru mizbech ochel gezelos, so people should not say that the mizbech consumes stolen items. Point number two, Rava challenged Ula from a brice which teaches about a stolen animal, which the thief was makdish, b'chutz ki haigovna, if he shechted it outside the mikdash, in such a case, anush karas, he is liable to karas. This proves that yeush is sufficient for the thief to own and be makdish the animal, for otherwise there would not be karas for shechting it outside the mikdash. Rav Shivsi answered, karas midivrehem, it means karas by rabbinical decree. After Rav admonished the students for laughing at the notion of rabbinically administered karas, he explained that the karas was engendered due to a rabbinical decree. Ukmul Rabbanim and Rishu say the rabbis place it in the thief's possession, using the principle of hefker based in hefker, geheche de lechaibala, so that he should be liable to karas for shechting it outside the mikdash. Rava later added that it's logical that the rabbinic transfer takes place at the moment the thief is makdishit, and not earlier when it's stolen, which would entitle him to the shearings and offspring in the interim, shoye choten iskar, so that the sinner should not profit from his wrongdoing. And point number three, the next mission teaches about purchasing land from a sikrikon, a murderous idolater who received land from a Jew so he would not kill him. It begins by teaching that the law of sikrikon did not apply in the period when people were being killed during the war of Titus. The Gemara explains that since idolaters were free or even required to kill Jews, we assume the Jew sincerely transacted his land to the sikrikon, threatening him. Later, when killing Jews was punishable by death, the law of sikrikon applied. The laws explain, lakach misikrikon, if one purchased land from a sikrikon, v'chaz v'lakach m'bal bais, and then bought it from the original owner, mekachu batel, the sale is void because we assume the owner only agreed to the sale from fear of the sikrikon. M'bal bais, v'chaz v'lakach misikrikon, however, if he first bought it from the owner and then bought it from the sikrikon, mekachu kaim, his purchase is valid since the owner volunteers to sell it, is assumed to be in earnest. A later court ruled that if the land remained for 12 months with the sikrikon, one who buys the land pays one quarter to the owner and keeps it. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Nun Hey, and this one was suggested to us by two members when we had our Choose the Siman contest back in Maseches Brachas. And Naftali Golombek from Brooklyn and Mordechai Kornbluth from Boston both suggested that Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. Speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to check the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chayv karas by rabbinic decree, and that he was standing on land being sold by a sikrikon who had taken it from a Jew. Once again, it's a motion. The stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs, that must be learned off Nun Hey, speed limit sign of 55. The stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim, which reminds us Yochanan ben Gugada taught, the chattas hagazua shel nodu l'rabim, concerning a stolen chattas, meaning a stolen animal, which the thief designated as a chattas, which is not publicly known to have been stolen, shehime chaperes mifnei tikkun hamizbech, that it atones for the thief's chattas obligation for the benefit of the mizbech. Ula says, biblically speaking, whether it was known or not, it doesn't atone for the thief, because yeush kedi wilkani, the owner's despair alone, does not acquire ownership of the thief. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted that where the stolen status of the animal is unknown, it atones for the thief's obligation, so that the kohanim should not be saddened by the later discovery that they ate illegitimate sacrificial meat, meaning chulin brought as a carbon. This is called tikkun hamizbeach, the benefit of the mizbeach, because kohanim would hesitate in the future to bring karbanis. Rav Yehuda brings a different explanation. So the stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chayiv karas by rabbinic decree, which reminds us Rav challenged Ula from a brisa which teaches about a stolen animal which the thief was makdish. If he shechted it outside the mikdash, in such a case, anish karas, he's liable to karas. This proves that yeush is sufficient for the thief to own and be makdish the animal, for otherwise there wouldn't be karas for shechting outside the mikdash. Rav Shivzi answered, it means karas medivrehim. It's karas by rabbinical decree. Rav explained that the karas was engendered due to a rabbinical decree. The rabbis place it in the thief's possession using the principle of hefker based in hefker, so you should be chayv for karas for shechting it outside the mikdash. So the stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chayv karas by rabbinical decree, and that he was standing on land being sold by a sikrikon who had taken it from a Jew, which reminds us, Gemara discusses purchasing land from a sikrikon and an idolater who sees land from a Jew. So once again, the stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chayv karas by rabbinical decree, and that he was standing on land being sold by a sikrikon who had taken it from a Jew. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf nun off. So the simmer daf nun off is a beaver because beavers gnaw. So here goes. The man whose beaver team, that must be more in daf nun off, gnaw. The man whose beaver team built a green dam on stolen property he purchased and was unable to collect from property the same seller sold to another prior to these improvements, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassim says, when is it true that compensation for the improvements are only collected from the seller's property? Only when the second purchase preceded the improvements of the first purchaser and the obligation to compensate for them was created thereafter. But if the improvements of the first purchaser and the obligation to compensate for them preceded the second purchase, government nechasim shubadim, he does collect from the sold properties in the second purchaser's possession. So, the man whose beaver team built a green dam on stolen property he purchased and was unable to collect from property the same seller sold to another prior to these improvements had to swear when he denied finding two beaver pelt purses tied together and said he found only one, which reminds us, the Gemara explains the distinction between a case where one is accused of finding two purses tied together and he claims he found only one purse, and one accused of finding two oxen tied together and claiming he found only one. So, the man whose beaver team built a green dam on stolen property he purchased and was unable to collect from property the same seller sold to another prior to these improvements had to swear when he denied finding two beaver pelt purses tied together and said he found only one, but did not have to swear when he was motive of mixes and told his accuser, a mana of your father's was in my possession and I paid him half of it. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokes whether the rationale why one must swear in a case of motive amixas, that it's presumed that a person is not brazen enough to completely deny his debt to his creditor's face, applies in a case when one is motive amixas to the creditor's son. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that a person is also not brazen enough to deny the whole claim to the son and therefore must swear, whereas the Chachamim hold he would be brazen enough, and therefore partial admission is likened to him being meishiv aveda, returning a lost object. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simur Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, which reminds us, Gemara clarifies that an apitropos can take truma for orphans, la'achil, to feed them, but not to store away. A brisa elaborates on other powers of the apitropos, such as using the orphan's property to prepare them for mitzvahs, which have a cost limit, such as lulav sukkah and tzitzis. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, saw the instructor had drawn an equal sign to teach that property of orphans is like hekdesh when it comes to sales, which reminds the Gemara discusses the moment of acquisition and purchases involving orphans. Produce which was drawn through Mashiach from orphan's possession to acquire before payment. If a later increase in value, the orphans can retract based on the statement of Rabbi Chanilai Bar Idi in the name of Shmuel, Nichse Yesomim Harihen Kehekdesh. Property of orphans is like hekdesh and is only acquired with money and not mashicha, drawing clothes. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, saw the instructor had drawn an equal sign to teach that property of orphans is like hekdesh when it comes to sales, and turned green watching a simulation of a thief stealing someone's wine and pouring it to an idol, where he had to pay and get stoned. Which reminds us, Rav says the Mishnah's case of menasech means menasech mamish. One literally pours another person's wine as an idolatrous libation. Shmuel says ma'ariv. It means one who mixes nesach wine into kosher wine, thereby prohibiting it. He disagrees with Rav because menasech kamli b'drabi minei. One who makes idolatrous libations is chai for a more severe punishment, namely skila, stoning, than paying money. And the more severe punishment exempts him from paying compensation, the lesser penalty. Rav holds from the moment of lifting the wine, he acquires it as stolen goods, obligating him to pay for it, but does not become chai for his life until the time of the libation. Because the monetary obligation preceded the libation, it is not exempted by the greater penalty. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simur Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must be more Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince in the green robes, who had his attendants examine food someone was matame, to determine if in fact it was hezek sheino nicker, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchokes about hezek sheino nicker, damage which isn't recognizable. Chizki holds that one is chayim deraisa for, but the rabbis exempted an unintentional damager, kadei sheyodio, so that he'll inform the owner that his food is prohibited. If he would be chayiv, he may hesitate to inform the owner, causing him to eat the prohibited food. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and holds hezek sheino nicker, loshme hezek. Unrecognizable damage is not considered genuine damage. The rabbis penalize one who intentionally damaged this way, so that everyone should not go and be matame's friend's tower of foods and say, Patrani, I'm exempt. So the Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food someone was matame to determine if in fact it was hezek sheino nicker was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation. Which reminds us, Rapapa challenged Chizkiah from a Mishnah. Gazamat Be'ev and Nipsal, one who stole a coin and it was disqualified for use by the government, the thief may return and say, what's yours is before you, and returned. and it's not chayiv for its loss in value. So we see conclusively from here that hezek she'eino nikar lav shmei hezek is not considered damage. So the Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food someone was metame to determine if in fact it was hezek she'eino nikar was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation, and insisted that even one who damages like this b'shokeg should be penalized atumezid, just like the Jews do when it comes to prohibiting food that was cooked on their Sabbath. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains why Rebbe Meir holds we penalize shogeg atumezid when it comes to hezek sheino nikar, but do not do so when it comes to amavashu b'shabbos b'shogeg, one who cooks b'shogeg on Shabbos. And why Rebbe Yudah holds we do not penalize shogeg atumezid when it comes to hezek sheino nikar, but do penalize shogeg atumezid when it comes to bishul b'shogeg on Shabbos. Daf Nun Dalet, so the Simon Daf Nun Dalet is noodles. So here goes. The Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish, green noodles, that must be on Daf Nun Dalet, noodles. The Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him a shogeg with Tamei Chul, and which reminds us, the Gemara Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis asserted that Rabbi Meir penalizes a shogeg as severely as Mezid for a Drabban, yet he rules in a Brisa that if a non-Kohen ate Tahor Truma b'shogeg, instead of paying him Tahor Chulin, he paid him a Tamei Chulin, which cannot be eaten since it becomes Truma. Rabbi Meir says, b'shogeg tashum of tashumim, if it was done b'shogeg, the payment is valid. But Mezid, the payment is invalid. The Gemara answers that this is not comparable, since there when paying with Tamei Chulin, the man intended to pay as required. Should we go and penalize him for mistakenly paying with Tamei Produce? So the Kohen was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him b'shogeg with Tamei Chulin, wasn't believed when he told the man he was mafago the carbon he brought on his behalf the day before, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that if one was preparing Tahor items for another, and he told him that Tahor items are prepared if he became Tamei, or if he was preparing Karbanos for another by sacrificing them, and he told him the Karbanos are prepared for you became Pigol, he's believed. However, if he said that items he prepared on a previous day became Tamei, or Pigol, he's not believed. Abai explains the difference, Kol Shebiyado Neman, anything within his ability to do now, he's believed to say he did. But something that's no longer in his ability to do, such as something that was done the day before, he's not believed. Rava gives a different explanation. So the Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him b'shogeg with Tamei Chulin, wasn't believed when he told the man he was mafago the carbon he brought on his behalf the day before, and that the Sefer Torah he had written for him that was now in this man's possession was puzzle, because he didn't write Hashem's names, Lishma. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident of a sofer told Rabbi Ami about a Sefer Torah he wrote for someone. I did not write the mentions of Hashem's names, Lishma, which would invalidate the entire Sefer Torah. After determining the Torah was in the purchaser's possession, Rabbi Ami responded, Ne'man atal hapsid scharcha, you are believed to forfeit your wages since you admitted you didn't perform the work properly, v'yat ne'man hapsid sefer Torah, but you're not believed to disqualify the sefer Torah. Alright, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which of the learned apotropos can tithe on behalf of Yosomim in order to feed them, but not to store the produce away? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 2. Which have to be discussed whether a sofer is believed when he says the Sefer Torah he was paid to write is invalid. That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which have to learn if one stole coins and returned them after the government stopped circulating them, he's not chai for their loss in value. That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which that when a stolen animal designated as a carbon which was shechted outside the mikdash, the onesh is karis based on a rabbinical decree. That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. Number 5. Which that when the distinction between one admitting he found one of two purses tied together where he has to swear, and the case of admitting he found one of two oxen tied together where he does not. That's on Daf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which daf we have the case of Tamei Truma, which was eaten and then repaid with Tamei Chulin. That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which daf we have when we penalize Shogeg Atumezid regarding Hezek Sheinu Nikar and Bishul B'Shabbos B'Shogeg. That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf we discuss purchasing land from a Sikrikon, an idolater who sees land from a Jew. That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. Number 9. Which that when a woman always collects her ksuba from Yisomim, from Ziburis, and it's a malchok is what she collects from when collecting from her husband. That's on Daf Memtes. Good. And number 10. Which daf do malchok is about the tekana of a chatas gzua, a stolen chatas. That's on Daf Nun Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar Mzichu wishing you a great day and great learning.